Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Brandon Show podcast. Once again, it has been a while since the last episode, but either way, in today's episode, I will be talking about my hopes, my thoughts, and my opinions on the future of Canada, while getting other people's perspectives on what they think the future of Canada has in store. Every person has their own opinion on what the future of Canada may look like. Today on The Brandon Show, answering future-based questions of a country with brilliant but flawed attributes, plus hearing from the perspectives of two other Canadians, their mind on situations that may present themselves in the future. The Brandon Show starts right now. All right, so I guess I should give some context to what this is, really. So this is all a part of something called the My Canada Project, and there is a little blurb here that I'm going to read out. So the My Canada Project is a forum for young Canadians initiative that gives young people from coast to coast to coast an opportunity to reflect on the experiences that have shaped what Canada means to them. Now, that is according to the My Canada website. The website also says, as a young leader, share your views about Canada alongside your neighbors and strangers from every corner of the country. Open your mind and heart to a bigger and brighter Canada by bringing your vision and perspective to life through a multimedia submission that highlights, promotes, and reflects Canada through your eyes and experiences. So that's what I'm going to be doing here in this podcast. And so I think it should be pretty interesting. So I have a bunch of questions to run through here, and I'll give you my opinions, and then I'll talk about what I think Canada should do. Because I did say in the intro that there are some, like, it has some flaws in Canada. There are flaws in Canada. Some people don't view the country as a flawed country in some places, but there are flaws kind of hiding beneath a cover. Like, it's like a small cover, but there's flies hiding behind it. Then I will also ask some other people, the same questions to get their views on those questions and what Canada means to them. And one of those guests is someone you may have heard before on this podcast. It's not this specific one, but in a previous episode. And that will come a little later. So let's start off with the questions here. All right, so let's start off with the first question, which is, what does Canada inspire in you? And I really had to search this one up because I really, the in you part is kind of open-ended. I'm really curious to see what other people say about this, what my guests say about this one here. So, based on Canadian stereotypes floating around, when I think of Canada, I think about being friendly. Now, I'm always friendly. However, I have been realizing that I am a bit too nice to people in some cases. And you know what? Like, friendly is a Canadian attribute. And I think just being in Canada, like, a lot of people outside of Canada who don't live in Canada, like a lot of Americans, maybe some Europeans, Australians, they view Canadians as very friendly people. And, you know, I'm a very friendly person, and I'm starting to realize in some cases here that just based on some work experiences that I'm a bit too nice to some people here. Now, Canada also inspires me to explore the country. You know, from what I've seen from photos and videos, there are so many wonderful places to visit in this country. Visiting Banff this past summer was just amazing. So, you know, like, I've seen on, like, the Amazing Race Canada travel shows, you know. Ooh, I've seen what this country has to offer. And, you know, I've been to Toronto, like, once. I went to Calgary only a couple times. I went to Banff this past summer. I may have mentioned that already. I went to Edmonton a couple times, Winnipeg. But, you know, like, I haven't really seen a lot of the other parts. And you know what? The first, like, visiting Banff was the first time I saw, like, mountains in this country. Like, actual mountains. And now, at least from what I can remember. So that's definitely, like, something to note here in terms of positives here. Or, you know, I want this country to be looked at for the good instead of some of the flawed attributes that we're going to be talking about, that I will be talking about later on here. Or so, yeah, well, that's the first question. That we're done going through here. And now we will end up returning to this question once again, two more times, rather, when I talk to my guests. So, yeah, let's move on to the next question. Question number two, how can we grow? All right, so this question here is kind of like open-ended kind of deal. Like, how can Canada grow? How can we grow? Oh, I think a lot of these questions are kind of similar. A lot of these questions are very, very similar, actually. So how can we grow? I think Canada needs to do something. Like, we can learn about the past, kind of. However, we need to look towards the positives. We need to look for the positives. We have people in this country who are focusing on the negatives of this country, of the past. We can't change the past. We never can. And however, despite going through tough times, whatever hardships we might be facing, we need to look for the positives. And I think that's how people can grow in this country. Hey, look for something that inspires them. They can strive to become better people if they've done bad things in the past and they're trying to learn from their past. And I think that's kind of what's kind of going on. I mean, I know this person's not I'm just going to, like, mention someone. This guy's not Canadian. But Jesse from Survivor 43, he was a member of a gang. And, like, I believe he spent some nights in prison. He went to some camp, and he's, like, now a better person. And, like, he was in a Mr. Beast video not that long ago, right? And, like, he's striving to become a better person. And that just shows that even if you commit something wrong, you can strive to become a better person. And sure, you can't change the past, but you can always try to do something to forget the past. In terms of forgetting, I think, like, some people might not be able to forget it if they did, like drugs, alcohol. But I feel like there's, like a lot of things that if, like, someone committed a crime, I feel like there's a lot of people that want to forget that they actually committed that crime, right? So I feel like that's how people can grow. Oh, if they need therapy, that's a thing that we need. In terms of Canada, if people will speak their mind, then they might get a reaction from the government. And whether their opinion may be good or bad, if people will speak out, then they know that their voice will be heard. That's kind of true. The government might not care, but there is the chance that they might listen. I remember a few years ago, the kids at a school, at schools in Saskatchewan, they went to outside the office of MLAs in Saskatchewan and protested some new bill on libraries, public libraries, and the government listened. I remember a while ago, mainly here in Kenora, where I'm recording this, they parked themselves outside Terry Dennis's office, and they were there for a while, reading their books, at the time, I think it was Brad Wall, was premier at the time, and whatever the government's decision was, teachers definitely did not agree with. Some teachers did not agree with. I would like to think most teachers. And yeah, exactly. All right. So the next question: what hope and vision do you hold for Canada? And I feel like this is kind of an open-ended question. And I have hopes, and then there's also the reality: are we actually gonna get there? And I feel like at this point, it's gonna be a long, rocky, bumpy road. I feel like, honestly, I hope Canada can grow its diversity and the equality can exist. I hope, I don't want there to be any minority feeling they're being discriminated against, LGBTQ plus or indigenous or a POC or I don't know some certain religious groups. Oops, or whatever. Not terrorist groups, obviously. I don't want cults or terrorist groups in this country. And I feel I feel like Canada also needs to do something about the people coming in. And I think they're already kind of doing, they're on the step, they're going up the step ladder, trying to deal with immigrants, illegal immigrants coming in. I know the other day, my friend Michael, he stated that there are more immigrants in Canada than there are actually Canadians. And that is actually true. Ooh, and you know what? I feel like it's really, I think that in terms of the legal system, they need to do something. And I feel like I feel like Canada can get there, or hopefully Canada can fix some of the wrongs politically. I feel like we saw with India and other countries, Canada's harmed their relationships with them, with some countries. And I feel I feel like there's a way that we can, get better. I feel like there is that path there. And honestly, the vision for Canada, I feel like some things that countries are trying to do, banning guns or whatever, or I feel like that's just not gonna happen. And even though Canada's trying to do their best, however, I feel like shootings are just gonna keep happening. There's illegal guns illegally getting smuggled across the border, and exactly that's kind of. Kind of I don't know really what to say about that one. It's just bad. but yeah, I feel like I have hope. Now, in some cases, I don't have high hopes at all. Oh, all right, so let's move on to the next question. What three words come to mind when you think about Canada? Now, I feel like this. Some of this is going to be maybe a fun question, nice little good question. And so I picked three words here. Two of them are kind of like negatives in a way. One's positive. So first one I got, we'll start off with the positive for me, and you can choose whatever you want. You can choose whatever words you want. We have beautiful. I think this country is a beautiful country. It is. We've seen on the Amazing Race Canada, right? Like, they're traveling across the country. Because I feel like Canada is one of those countries where you can be in different parts. You can be in the mountains, you can be in the Arctic, and you can be in the prairies. You can be in, like, in the Canadian Shield, and you can still be in the same country. And I believe there's also, like, deserts, too. Like this country is so amazing. There's so many great landscapes, and it makes sense that there's an Amazing Race in Canada, just traveling around Canada. And I feel like that's insane. And, you know, we saw Race Across the World, which is a British show. Well, they came to Canada, did a full season in Canada. I remember meeting the team behind that. They came to Kenora because they were heading to Churchill. Well, and that was a very fun experience. I think this country is, like, very beautiful. And, you know, well, I saw the mountains. Those are just spectacular. And honestly, I took a photo and posted it to Instagram. I think, like, one of the photos I took of the mountains in Banff National Park this past summer is one of the best photos I've ever taken. And probably is the best photo I've ever taken. It was absolutely amazing. I had such a fun experience walking up Sulphur Mountain. And next year we have a plan, hopefully, fingers crossed, if nothing happens, to go on a road trip down to like Ottawa or Toronto, like the GTA. And we're taking a road. We're going through Canada. We're going through like the scenic route. We're going through the Canadian Shield in Northern Ontario. Ooh, and I think this is going to be very fun. Fun to do. We're not taking any flights. I've been to Toronto in the past, but that was with a flight. But I want to go. I think, like, there's some parts of this country I haven't seen before, and also, like, I've never been to Quebec. I would like to go there at least once. Like, I have a goal to go to every province, and the fact that, like, in a few months, like, end of March, April next year, I would have been to more countries than I have provinces, really. Because I don't see, like, I have not been to British Columbia, and I really want to go there. I've been to Alberta. I live in Saskatchewan. I've been to Manitoba numerous times. The most recent time I went to it's often, not that long ago. Oh, and then I went to Ontario once. Like, once. And that's going to change. I'm probably going to go there more. I really want to go to British Columbia. I really do. It's on my bucket list. I want to go to visit. I want to visit every single Canadian province. And I think I've actually been to more U.S. states than Canadian provinces, which is kind of depressing. Like, I think now, like, granted, some of these were, like, when I was, like, we were young. I've been to North Dakota, South Dakota. I've been to Minnesota. I've been to New York. I've been to New Jersey. That's looking already fine. It's already five states, and I've only been to four Canadian provinces, which is kind of sad when you think about it. But yeah. All right, next up, we have flawed, and I feel like we can go for a while on this one. And I think there's a lot of flaws in this country. I think we can literally go for a very, very long time here, and hopefully we don't take that long. So, for flawed. They need to fix something about the healthcare system because we're having people having to wait very, very long times. And, you know, I saw a report the other day on CTV National News that where, like, the statistics are showing that a lot of people going into the emergency room are having so absurd wait times, so like insane wait times, to the point where they have to leave. They decide to leave because it's just so crazy. And we saw there was a story where someone waited for like 7 hours and that person ended up dying because they just didn't get the care they needed. And I feel like I'm going to talk about this later. I have a feeling we'll talk about this later with Peter or my first guest. There you go. Dang, I spoiled it for you guys. Okay, it's fine. And I feel like also the economy is in the worst place than ever. Like how the housing market is, like, it's just expensive now. So many flaws with this country. They need to do something about, like, I know they, like, closed down Roxham Road, which is, thank goodness, actually, like, honestly, thank goodness. The computer next to me just turned on. And it kind of gave me a jump. And it kind of ties this, like, flawed ties into the next word, open-ended here. And I feel like there's so many scenarios that can happen. And honestly, I feel like Justin Trudeau, like the Prime Minister of Canada right now, I feel like he doesn't have that long of reign left. I feel like if he goes for another term in 2025, if he loses, I think he's done. You know, like, at that point, he would have done it for, like, 10 years. He would have been in office for, like, 10 years. That's a very long time to be a leader of a country. And, like, so a lot of people don't make it that far. And I feel like, at that point, Trudeau, like, if he were to lose, that would happen. And I feel like if that were to happen now, I saw a poll the other day on CTV News. An analyst poll said that if Canada was to host an election today, like around this time, the Conservatives would win a majority government, which doesn't give a lot of hope for, like, the Liberals. Like, they need to fix something here. Now, granted, I feel like they'd be, like, friendly, very friendly people, but they need to fix something here. It's a very open-ended question. Open-ended, I guess. That's different. It's kind of funny. I got that word I'm talking about is open-ended, but I'm using the word open-ended to explain it. It's definitely really hard here. And I actually brought up the definition for it. Or open-ended, having no determined limit or boundary. And I feel like in terms of promises that the Liberal government wants, I feel like that's just not gonna, like, a lot of it's just not gonna happen. Now, also, I'm not just gonna be bashing on the Liberals, because I feel like the Conservatives also have some, like, flaws with them too. Ooh, like, I don't necessarily agree with everything Pierre Poilievre says every time. But, you know, I feel like it can go either way. I feel like in terms of elections, and I feel like the NDP, the Greens, the Bloc Québécois, like, People's Party, obviously, like, those four parties are done. Like, I don't think they're ever going to get to the point where they are now. I know what we just saw the other day, Manitoba, just won. It's like an NDP majority the other day in their provincial election. So, ooh, that's definitely interesting there. So it's definitely open-ended. I feel like the country, there's a path. There's definitely several paths that this country could take. It's just going to be kind of interesting which path we end up going downwards. And I don't really have a specific answer for that. All right, next question we have. When you think about your hometown, your neighborhood, or Canada, what are some visuals or adjectives, rather, that come to mind? And I feel like this is going to be this is a better word. This is a better question, and it's kind of more so of a fun question. And so that's going to be interesting. So I have tight-knit. A lot of small towns in Canada, it's just like Saskatchewan. Like everyone knows a lot of people. Like my family knows pretty much a whole bunch of people in the Parkland region of Saskatchewan. And like here in Kenora, where I live, that's like there's a lot of people. Like I know, and like if I haven't known, like I'm meeting people who I'm just becoming, like, really good friends with. Like, there's this guy named Max I met while working at the pool. Really fun guy. He's from Ukraine. He, like, lived in Ukraine, and he moved to Canada. Now, this was before the wars and whatever. But we're seeing so many people, and, like, we're becoming friends. And, like, I feel like that's a lot of Canada. A lot of people are close together, and I feel like if something were to happen to one family, I feel like a lot of people would be there for them if something were to happen. And that's just what Canada is. And small, like, really, like, Canada's like there's not a lot of people in these communities, like a good, like, under 5,000 really. And there's in Kenora, there's, like, what, under 3,000. It used to be 3,000, actually, yeah, I believe. Like, but it's, like, actually gotten lower. Like, more people are leaving, actually, which is actually interesting, I guess. Yeah. Now, like, and I feel like the population in this country, it's small. It is small. Most people live in the GTA. But when you get to, like, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Alberta even, and I feel like there's a lot of towns where everyone knows everybody. Yeah, and that's what you can say. And varied, I guess. That's the next word that I have here. And yeah, there's a lot of places in this country where some people are rude. There are people who are rude. I feel like a lot of people in Quebec, well, literally, if you speak English, they'll just speak French to you. And like there are rude people in Canada, don't get me wrong, there are rude people in this country. For varied, like, honestly, I feel like if people don't know everybody, there's people who don't necessarily like, but we do like tolerate them. And varied is really a kind of an interesting word. I don't really know really how much to say about this one, but I think there's so many, like, attributes about small towns, like, especially in, like, Saskatchewan, that make this country friendly. It makes them look like the friendly country that they are. And a lot of people, not just in, like, these small towns, but, like, there are, like, really nice people in Toronto, like, Vancouver, like, the major centers. I remember going to Banff National Park. I've mentioned that multiple times already throughout this podcast so far. And it was absolutely amazing, breathtaking, right? Like, and the people there were very nice. I never met a single person who was like, mean. And I guess that's kind of, like, their job, I guess. But, like, tourists, even, like, who are just very nice. And I'm actually, like, very excited for, like, when I, if we go down to Toronto, Ottawa, I feel like there's going to be so many nice people down there. It's going to be amazing. And, like, I feel like these small towns are where the niceness is. And I feel like when people think of Canada, I feel like a lot of people, well, not just, like, a lot of people think about Toronto, which is kind of sad. But, like, there's people, like, some people will think about small towns in Canada. And that makes sense. Because, like, Canada is small. The population's not that much. It's 40 million. And but, like, everyone, a lot of people know everybody, and there's a lot of communities where if something were to happen, I've said this before, but if something were to happen, like, if someone got hit by a car, if someone if a house burnt down. Like, I feel like a lot of people would be there for them, and which is definitely very fun and very, very, very nice. And so, like, it's definitely, like, the country's varied. Like, the country is varied in, like, terms of political, like, the diverse landscapes. Like, there's a lot of varied parts of this country. It's kind of like a weird word to say, to kind of describe here. All right, is there something about this country you would change? I think I've said a lot of it before. I would change healthcare. However, I feel like there's something about healthcare where I don't think it matters what the government does. Like, I know the NDP, they want the best healthcare. And I feel like most parties want the, I would like to think most parties want good healthcare in this country. And if, with good healthcare, like, that's that would be amazing. And there's free healthcare in this country. When people think of Canada, they think of free healthcare. But I didn't, like, that doesn't mean, like, the healthcare is good. And I feel like a lot of it, like, it doesn't, I don't think it matters about what the government's trying to do. I feel like it falls down to the employees, really. Like, we've had absurd wait times, and that literally just, I think that falls down to the employees. And I think if they're going to do something, they need to, like, set something in place. And if, like, someone doesn't give a crap about their job, like, they're not going to, we probably won't care about the patients. Like, and that's what it should be. Like, it should be the patients are the biggest priority. And that's exactly what it is. And I feel like I worked with a bunch of people as a lifeguard. And like, there's people, I know there are lifeguards in this country. I worked at an outdoor pool. There are some people, I'm not going to say who just are really, like, they would rather put themselves over the patient. If something were to happen, and now most people would help, right? But, like, I feel like there's people at my job who are just there for the money. And I feel like that's exactly what it is for some, emergency responder jobs, jobs in the healthcare system. I feel like that is what it is. So if they need to do something, they need to, like, make contracts that, like, let's say, they need to fix, like, they need to be on their A game. If something needs to happen, they need to have, like, a list of, like, injury priority list. They need to have that. Because if someone comes in with a broken arm, they might be able to wait, and they probably will wait. If someone comes in with bronchitis, they could probably wait over someone who's having a heart attack, or someone who's having a stroke, or something, like, very, very serious. And then also, I feel like they need to change the protection of police officers. Like, Canada government needs to do something, because we're seeing so many people, so many officers in this country getting killed in the line of duty. We literally saw not that long ago in BC, like a couple weeks ago, someone got shot and they died. Like, they need to do something about protecting police officers. We saw in Saskatchewan, Shelby Patton, he got ran over. He got hit by a man in a pickup truck. Like, a vehicle. Like, that's absurd. And we're seeing, like, a lot of shootings I'm hearing about nowadays involve of officers or members of, like, emergency responders dying. We've seen in the Nova Scotia mass shooting, police officer was killed, Heidi Stevenson. We saw multiple shootings. Multiple incidents where officers have gotten stabbed. Officers have been shot. We saw in Fredericton a few years ago, two officers got shot. And then we saw in Moncton, three officers. They died. They really need to do something. And whether it be, like, give them better tactical gear, or, like, give them better equipment, like even like spy equipment, really. Like, they need to do something because a lot of people are losing their families. Now, granted, like, I know like they're doing their job. They shouldn't, like, their job is to save lives. Their job is to stop violence on the street. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. We shouldn't be seeing people, these officers, dying in the line of duty. And we've seen so many officers die within the last few years. It's just crazy. Like, every mass shooting I'm hearing in Canada, like, most of them at this point, are involving, like, officers getting shot. Whether they survive, maybe, or whether they were killed or something. Like, it's insane to me. Yeah, on that point there. All right, and the next question I got is there something you wish more people knew about or understood better from your viewpoint? Now, I feel like if people from, like, America know this, obviously America needs to do something about their crimes. But I feel like whatever they do about guns, whatever they try to do, it's not going to change anything. I feel like there's so many, like, illegal guns. Like, they can introduce all the bills they want, all the bans they want, and I feel like it's not really going to change anything. And I feel like I also want people to understand that Canada isn't just Toronto. And it isn't just, like, Vancouver. It isn't just these major cities. Now, like, I know most of the people live in, like, in Canada, live underneath the 49th parallel. But, like, there's so many great places in this country that need to be, that I feel like people don't give enough credit for. Or, I feel like especially, like, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, a lot of people don't really care. But, like, there's a lot of places in these provinces that are just amazing. Like, I went to Cypress Hills a couple years ago. It's here in Saskatchewan. Amazing. We went zipline. It was amazing. And like, Churchill, I've never been there, but I want to go there. Or, like, Manitoba isn't just Winnipeg. Saskatchewan isn't just Saskatoon or Regina or Prince Albert. Like, there's a lot of other places that are getting some tourists that I think need more tourists. Like, the people need to go to. Ooh. And I feel like it's kind of one of my complaints with Amazing Race Canada, really. Because, like they're doing... They came one time in season 3. They came to Saskatoon. They went to a trampoline park. That task... Like, you could do that and that sort of task anywhere, I feel like. There has to be there's so many amazing things in Saskatoon they could have done instead of going to a bloody trampoline park. And then they did a task at the airport where they did something about math on, like, all the kilometers they did. And that's, like, a sponsor task. Like, I feel like also, like, we're going to talk about this. I feel like, I'll talk about this in my season review when I post that on YouTube. Ooh, but they need to train something about sponsor tasks in Amazing Race Canada. But, that's getting away from my point here. I feel like there's more things to see than just the big cities. If you drive out, beyond. There's so many great things to see. Like, the views. I said that before. Like, there's so many beautiful places in this country you can see that, like, if you just saw it, or... Like, if you're skeptical before going there, just see it, try it, and maybe you like it, maybe you won't. But I remember seeing mountains for the first time. That was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. I want to go on the Canadian again, which is the Via Rail from Toronto to Vancouver. Or I really want to go on that the full trip. I think that would just be fun, and I feel like the views would just be absolutely breathtaking. I think that would be very fun and to see there. All right, so next question. If you could have three wishes for a country's future, what would they be? I think the country needs to fix the legal system and how people are sentenced. And if someone commits, like, a crime, they can't just... Like, if people commit it depends on the level of crime. If someone commits a crime, they shouldn't just be deported back to wherever they came. Like, now it depends on the crime. If someone commits murder, send them back. I don't care. But I'm mainly focusing on jackrat things to do. The truck driver of the Humble Broncos bus crash, like, they're trying to deport him. Like, I think he should stay in the country. He is at no risk to offend. He is in a minimum security prison. Like, they need to do something about that. Like, before... he wasn't even supposed to be there. Like, the truck company was illegal. Like, they did not meet the requirements. He pretty much got, like, a few hours of training, and then off he went. And I think, like, that's, like, really irresponsible. I know that trucking company filed bankruptcy, even though I think they're working under another name now that is, like, even more illegal. But I feel like the justice system needs to understand. And, like, isn't the fact that they accidentally killed someone in an accident hard enough? Like, they need to live with the fact, he needs to live with the fact every day that he claimed the lives of 16 people. That's a lot of people. And he changed the lives of so many others. Like, that's insane. All right, next, my second wish is Canada needs to fix its relationships with other countries, especially, like, major powers like India and China, even if against them. Like, even if they're neutral, like, need to do that. And that kind of falls for America, too. Like, Donald Trump actually, he had the audacity to sit down with North Korea's leader and, like, Russia's leader, Vladimir Putin, and actually have talks to them. Biden has not done that. Justin Trudeau has not done that. Like, they need to do something. Like, even if they sat down for an interview, they would make them more, like, they made North Korea respect them. Really. Like, not really respect, obviously. I don't think they made it that far in whatever talks they were trying to do. Or whatever talks they were trying to have. But the fact that they sat down made North Korea neutral. They didn't really want to attack. But now I think, like, we're at a worst case scenario. Especially at this point. And I feel like, this is just my opinion, but I feel like if Donald Trump was still in power, I feel like the war would not have happened. Alright, and next up, Canada needs to help people heal from past traumas. But they don't necessarily need to do it through giving money. Like, I don't think money's gonna help anything. It's not. If something happens, and money's not gonna do anything. Like, help them get, like, therapy, and they don't even have to, like, don't give them drugs or anything. But, like, they don't need money. Like, residential school survivors do not need more money from the government because of what happened. Because it's not whatever money they give, it's not going to change their minds at all. And that's my spiel on that. Alrighty. Alright, so my first guest is someone who was on this podcast a very, very long time ago. Oh, well, please welcome my good friend, Peter Michelle. All right, Peter, so we are going to run through a list of questions, and you just need to give your best opinion.
All right, sounds good.
All righty. So what does Canada inspire in you?
I think Canada, well, from its, you know, very beginnings, was a country of freedom and purpose and essentially free will. And I know it's kind of lost its way a bit, but I think we can get back to that place once again. One day.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So how can we grow as a country?
Well, I think for starters, we need a leadership change because the current one has no respect for the values of most Canadians and continuously puts our country into debt and just a downward spiral that makes everyday livings hard. So we could use a leadership change as soon as possible.
Interesting. What hope and vision do you hold for the Canadian future?
I think Canada can get back to where it was. I think it can get back to one of the greatest countries in the world like it used to be. Mm-hmm. I think we definitely need to strengthen our military and actually be one of the forefronters in the world. It seems like Russia and all these other mm-hmm. countries are just leaving us in the dust. So, yeah, we need to have a clear... Someone needs to come in with a clear vision for the future and then just take us
there. Well, I also think they need to, like, help with healthcare. They need to fix healthcare problems, yeah. All those problems across the country.
Yeah.
All right. So what three words come to mind when you think about Canada?
Three words. Maple syrup. I guess that's two, technically. Mountains. And Tim Hortons.
Can you go into why you said maple syrup?
Because that's like pretty much our gimmick in Canada. So.
Like the stereotype.
Yeah.
Then mountains. Why did you say mountains?
Because I'm originally from Alberta and just mountains were like probably the coolest thing that like we kind of have around here. So in Canada.
Interesting. And then why did you say Tim Hortons?
Well, because I go to Timmy's every day, that's why. best restaurant in Canada that's exclusive, pretty much, in Canada.
I mean, you could find them everywhere.
I thought, pretty much in Canada still?
Yeah.
There's a couple.
There's others, like, around the world, but, like, you can find them everywhere in Canada.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I don't know if there's one in Nunavut, but everywhere else.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about, like, other parts.
Yeah. Okay, when you think about your hometown, your neighborhood, or Canada, what are some visuals or adjectives that come to mind?
Well, yeah, again, I'm from Calgary, so the Calgary Tower would probably be one of them. Calgary Tower. Yes, the diverse culture there. Or that's not really an object. Oh, that's a hard one.
Yeah. All right. So, like, you're, like, think about, like, your neighborhood, like, your, like, the people you're around, like, the people you see every day. Like, how could that, like...
Oh, so, yeah, like, we had one thing I remember vividly is we had, like, a baseball field right by our house and, like, a really nice park. So
oh, yeah.
That comes to mind right in our neighborhood. Yeah.
So. It's like... So, like, you have friends, do you have friends that are there for you when you need it, and, like, everyone kind of knows each other?
No, it wasn't really like that.
It wasn't like that?
No. Everyone kind of just kept to themselves.
Okay. All right. Is there something about this country you would change? You can say multiple things if you want.
Well, yeah, as you know, a lot of things need to change. Probably starting with the cost of living, like, that is just getting out of this, like, out of hand.
Yeah.
People paying the minimum, I think the minimum rent for a one-bedroom, like, studio apartment is, like, $1,500 now. Like, that's just unbearable for most people.
I mean, especially, like, BC, like, some people can't even afford it. Like, if you want to live there, you're basically, your best bet is a one-bedroom apartment, and that's, like, the cheapest, but it's not even that cheap.
Yeah. So, yeah, cost of living, like Brandon mentioned, healthcare needs to get better, because while it is free, obviously, the thing is, I don't feel like, I've had a lot of run-ins with, like, doctors recently, and I just don't feel like they prioritize patients because of the way the free healthcare system works.
Well, exactly. I mean, like, I've had people I know who go into the emergency room and they're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And, like, the doctors, like, even though, like, when you walk into the emergency room, they'll ask you what's going on and then they'll see where the doctors are. Or I had one person close to me, he came in with chest pains. They made her wait longer than someone who came in complaining about bronchitis.
Okay. Yeah, so. Yeah, I had a similar experience with my sister had chest pain, and they just did not take it seriously.
Yeah, and it's just so bad. And, like, the wait times are just crazy. Like, when you go for blood work, like, that, especially, like, here in just Kenora, it's just bad. Like, they take coffee breaks after every person goes through. All right, is there something you wish more people knew about or understood it better from your viewpoint?
To be honest, just kind of like I wish people would kind of see the way things are more, as to opposed to living in the fantasy of Canada's not that bad. You know, we've been through this sort of thing before with the current prime minister, but that's not really true. Like, Trudeau really is a dictator, and he's really, like, he's trying his absolute best to basically destroy Canada, and it's not the same. No one's ever done that. Even his dad didn't do that.
Yeah, I know, like, well, like, he introduced so many, like, bills that changed Canada forever, pretty much. Like, people can't get access to the news on, like, Instagram or Facebook now because of just how, because of that one bill they released, and then Google's thinking about axing in Canadian news as well. Oh, and, like, I think whatever Trudeau's trying to do, it's just, it's definitely not working, and it's digging this country into a bigger hole than it already was.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's really, that's the thing, is because, you know, everyone always, you know, Putin's a tyrant, or all these other guys around the world that are labeled as tyrants and dictators, but he's one too. I just think he should be put in that category too.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of people view Trudeau as kind of dumb in a way, but, like, I'm sure, like, he's, like, very nice if you were to talk to him simply on the street, but, like, but in terms of running a government, I don't think he has the standards or meets the standards that Canada should want. Definitely. All right, and then if you could have 3 wishes for our country's future, what would they be? We kind of touched on this a little earlier, but
yeah, so essentially, I would just say affordable housing would be one of them. I would say the minimum wage, I know it does technically keep going up, but it needs, I think all across Canada, it needs to be at least $20 for, like, people even be able to, like, pay for groceries, their house. So yeah, minimum wage, I would say, needs to go up to at least 20 nationwide. And then for the third one, I would say that we need to bring back heavily Alberta's oil industry again, because, like, that's crippling our country, not having that be where it was, like, 5 years ago. So yeah, we need to, I would say, get back to doing that.
All right, and then, and so, like, overall, in terms of longevity, what do you think Canada, like, the future of Canada has in store overall?
Well, I think one thing we have seen through all this, like, for the last, like, 3 years, which have been really rough, is that there are a very good portion of Canadians who are willing to fight for their country and are willing to ensure its future. So I think that's really inspiring. And I think when there's a saying, the only thing worse than when bad people do things is when the good people do nothing to stop them. So I think that's the situation we're in right now. So yeah, I think Canada does have a bright future. It just might take some work.
Okay, in terms of, like, allies, what do you think Canada needs to do in order to regain trust in other countries?
I think we just need to basically do what Stephen Harper did. He set up the most, like, trade alliances, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the country's history.
Yeah. So recently, like, Canada's, like, blaming India for this murder of a Sikh leader in BC, and now India is retaliating by calling Canada, like, a dangerous country, telling every person who from India that lives in this country to get out now, and telling all the Canadian diplomats, or most of the Canadian diplomats, to get out of their country. So, like, I think there's just a lot of things Canada needs to do. They need to rebuild trust in other countries. And, like, India is one of those big world leaders. When you think of countries, India usually comes to mind. It is the most populated. It has a lot of land. And mm-hmm. I think, like, they need... like, they do have military powers. And I think, honestly, in terms of the world, I think Canada's in one of its worst places ever.
Yeah. I 100% agree with that.
All right. And that is where we are going to end it off today. Yeah. So thank you, Peter, for joining me today. And have a good one.
All right. Thanks for having me, Brando.
All right. All right. My next guest is a self-proclaimed political junkie, works in local government, and is highly educated in the functions of governance and our current economy. Please welcome Kristen Kelbo.
Hi, Brandon. I'm so happy to be here.
All right, so we have a bunch of questions to go through, and we're going to try and do this in as fast as possible.
Yeah, because we could go on all day, couldn't we?
We could. It's almost like we recorded another bit and went too long. Either way, all right, so we have a bunch of questions. Let's see, absolutely no time at all, and let's start off with, what does Canada inspire in you?
Well, you know what, Brandon, thinking of my country used to make me proud. But given our current state of affairs right now, it makes me more sad than proud, unfortunately. I'm sad that we've become such a divided nation, but also because our image on the world stage is, quite frankly, embarrassing. Thanks, Justin. That being said, Canada is nothing if not resilient. And I'm hopeful that we can mend fences and once again become a country united rather than a country divided. And I'm hopeful that people become the change they seek and our image and reputation can be restored.
All right, how can we grow?
Well, Brandon, thinking of it, I think before we can grow, we have to understand where our current difficulties lie. One thing that I've already mentioned is that we have become a divided nation. We've become this way because of current social policies under our federal and provincial governments. Policies in regards to racial minorities and the historically oppressed, they were meant to be inclusive, but they've gone too far in the opposite direction. Now reverse racism has become the norm. It's allowed. And policies of inclusion are lacking common sense. Now, it seems that no matter what, we're told by the media, by our education system, and even by our prime minister, that we're racist and homophobic and transphobic or whatever phobic. We need to focus on things that unite us rather than things that divide us and put common sense back into these social policies. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I could definitely see your viewpoint there.
You know, and just secondly, we have to acknowledge our history rather than try and deny it and rewrite it. And we need to move past it. I was listening to a podcast recently of a First Nations chief from British Columbia who said in regards to truth and reconciliation that throwing more money at the problem doesn't fix it. And that at some point, people must stop blaming the intergenerational traumas, but own that trauma and use it as a motivating factor to change. In my opinion, First Nations are a people of untapped potential. And while this might be unpopular and disputed, we should ask ourselves that if these repeated settlements have actually made things worse. If the money isn't going towards healing, like therapy and rehab and programming, it doesn't help or solve anything, but it actually serves to continue the cycles of addiction and abuse.
All right, what hope and vision do you hold for the Canadian future?
I envision a united country that is once again respected internationally. And I hope for prosperity rather than policies that are obliterating entire economies and the way of life for thousands of people. Just as these policies have destroyed the way of life for First Nations people in the past, they're doing the same thing to our oil and gas workers. These climate change policies will wipe out entire sections of our economy, but somehow that's okay? I don't think so. But I envision a country that is strong and it acknowledges our history and learns from our history and uses its lessons to make the country better and stronger.
All right. What three words come to mind when you think about Canada?
Beautiful. This country, the landscapes are just amazing. From coast to coast to coast, as everyone loves to say, there is so much to see and do in Canada. This summer, I had the chance to go up to Banff, and just, it's wondrous. Every time I go there, I just can't believe how beautiful it is. And our prairies, and Quebec, and, you know, the coastlines, it's so beautiful. But just as country is beautiful, I also believe that it's lost. I feel that we're lacking a clear direction right now. And unfortunately, in my opinion, Justin Trudeau has tried too hard not to offend anyone and panders to too many groups. This has resulted in too many selfies and not enough time focusing on the real work of government. And the last word, diverse. Not only are landscapes diverse, but our people are diverse. Our experiences are diverse. And we need to remember that there is strength in diversity. And we have to make sure that it's not adversity because of diversity.
All right. When you think about Canada and your hometown and your neighborhood, what are some visuals or adjectives that come to mind?
I'm proud to be from a small town that still has these old-fashioned values where we help our neighbors and we wave at everyone and we welcome strangers and we keep an eye on each other's children. You know, it's great that my kids can go out and play and I don't really need to worry about them too much. You know, it's a simpler way of life, and I really believe that. And I think that it's a wonderful and unique experience, especially here in Saskatchewan.
All right. Is there something about this country you would change? This question might have tied into some of our previous questions, but what would you change in this country?
Our leadership, unfortunately. I really believe that Justin Trudeau doesn't have a clear sense of direction, nor does the Liberal government as a whole. Where are we going with this? He's pandering to too many groups, and it's just not taking us anywhere. We're going in circles. But I would also change some laws. I think that we need tougher laws to protect our police, and there has to be harsher sentences for offenders. And also, I would really get tougher on parole violators and remand them in custody until their court dates. And, you know, I just think of the James Smith Cree Nation and what happened there. And, you know, if they would have been in custody where they belonged because they had violated their parole, that entire massacre could have been avoided. And I would also like to try and apply these laws and these punishments uniformly to all people, regardless of their ethnicity and their race and their sexual orientation, social status, etc. I think that the law should be applied evenly and fairly across the board. And I would also like to use common sense approach to social policies that they can't be taken, quote unquote, too far by some people.
All right, and that's definitely interesting. Is there something you wish more people knew about or understood better from your viewpoint?
There's actually a couple of things, Brandon. First of all, I'd like to say that even if climate change is real and is a real threat, which I personally don't think it is, our country could be zero emissions, zero carbon footprint, etc., and it wouldn't make a bit of difference. We produce, as a nation, a fraction of a percent of the world's emissions. So unless the entire world buys into these climate change policies, we're ruining the way of life for our oil and gas workers and destroying entire sectors of the economy for nothing. That's just, it blows my mind. And something else, I think our children are being raised to be ashamed of their country and sorry for things that have happened in the past and generations before that have harmed others. Like they're somehow to blame for these historical injustices that's ruining the Canadian identity.
All right.
I'm still not done, Brandon. Like I said, I can go on and on for days. You know, we're losing our Canadian identity as a nation. We used to be known as a mixing pot, a country that brought many nationalities together. But now our social policies meant to be inclusive are driving us apart. So, you know, like I said, our children are being raised to be sorry. So what is a Canadian identity anymore? Like, do you identify, you know, what do you identify as? And basically, what we're doing to our children is we're making them identify as sorry.
Alrighty. Interesting. Alright, and the last question, we're going to try and go through this a little bit quicker here. If you could have three wishes for our country's future, what would they be? Let's do like some, this should be like nice and short and sweet. If
are you saying I'm talking too long, Brandon?
Not necessarily. Really. It's we want to get this done. We don't want it to be too long.
All right. I'll try and be brief.
Sorry.
So my three wishes for the country. First of all, I wish that we could focus on our similarities rather than our differences and once again become become a united nation. And once again, we become a place where we appreciate and respect differing opinions and points of view and maintain that freedom of speech. We really need to honor the sacrifices of the men and women that fought for this freedom for us. And right now, I feel like we're not fostering an environment of discussion and respect. And differing points of view really aren't being allowed. Like currently Bill C-18 is one step away from censorship. Like we're becoming like China, and we shouldn't have to be afraid to disagree with government, and we shouldn't be afraid to disagree with each other as long as we do it with respect. Mm-hmm. And lastly, I wish for good relations with other countries and for our prime minister and our country to be respected as leaders, and that once again, we become a strong nation, a united nation, and a respected nation.
All right, definitely. Something to note there. Okay, so in terms of the relations side of things, needing to fix relations with other countries, I personally agree with that, because we're seeing nowadays big superpowers in terms of countries. We're seeing like Russia, India, China, they're all kind of not necessarily in some cases banding together, or not all together, but like we're seeing superpowers band together. And if Canada, and not only Canada but the US, wants to regain their trust with other countries, they're going to need to talk with them, right?
Yeah, there definitely needs to be some dialogue, amongst the nations. And just because I really feel that Justin Trudeau and has really made our country the laughingstock, and just because of that, he isn't respected, so our nation isn't respected, and I really think that's one thing that needs to change. There needs to be a change in leadership, so once again, we can start. We need a strong leader who knows where we're going, and that we can start dialogue with other countries, and, you know, actually make a difference.
All right, and that does wrap up this interview. Any last thoughts?
So many. There's so many, but we don't have that kind of time. So, you know, all I'd like to say is that we need more common sense here. We need a stronger leadership. We need a vision for what we want our country to be in right now. I really feel that that's lacking.
I feel like as long as we can work civilly together, I think we can get through some troubling times that we might be in an economy, whether it be politically, and, you know, weather, all that.
That's right. And, you know, there needs to be discussion. And we shouldn't be afraid to disagree with each other, you know, but we can do it with respect. And that's something that's really important. And like I said, you know, Canada is nothing if, you know, if it's not, if it doesn't bounce back, right? We make it through. And I think right now we're just in a low point, but we'll come back from it.
All right. That is Kristen Kelbo, my second guest for this podcast. Thank you, Kristen, for joining me today.
Thanks, Brandon, for having me. I really hope that we can continue this discussion another time.
We'll see. Maybe in the future. We'll see. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right. There we go. That is the perspectives of two other Canadians. Once again, special thanks to Peter Rochelle and Kristen Kelbo for joining me on the podcast today. And yeah, we're definitely seeing different views of Canada all being presented, whether they be positive, whether they be negative. And yeah, there are negatives to this country, believe it or not. All right, and that does wrap up this episode of The Brandon Show. I want to thank you all for listening. I don't know when the next episode will be, but I guess stick around, I guess. Share and review, I guess. I don't know how this works on Spotify or where you find your podcasts. You know, all that. that's the podcast, though. Thank you for listening, and have a great day, or a great weekend, or a great rest of your day. That's how it goes. All right, thank you.